Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all upstairs, downstairs, whether you're in person, whether you're watching online. My name's Nathan, and I'm going to be leading us through this morning's all-age service. So it's great to have you here. If you're visiting, maybe this is your first ever time in a church building, or at the very least, your first ever time here with us at Long Crendon Baptist Church, you are particularly welcome. There'll be opportunities maybe during the service or after the service for us to say hello to you and for you to say hello to us, to get to know you a little bit more. It's also brilliant to have some guests with us. I'm trying to look around where they might be. John and Abby. Oh, at the very front there. We've got guests all the way from Nigeria this morning. Can I hear? Ooh, very good. So it's brilliant to have you with us, John and Abby, not just for today, but for a little bit of period of time. So you're incredibly welcome. I hope the service this morning is a blessing to you all. Now, as I said earlier, this is an all-age service. So that means the service is for... all. This service is for everybody. That's fine. That's fine. It's for everyone. So that means it's for
everybody.
You and you and you and you. It's for all of us. Okay. Whether you're old, whether you're young, whether it's your first time or maybe your last time, it is for you. So what does that mean in terms of what you might expect if you've never been to a service before? Well, hopefully children or young people, you'll be staying in for the whole service. But please do know, particularly for the little ones, there is a creche available just at the bottom of the stairs there. So if that's helpful, please do feel free to use that at any time throughout the service. There's going to be lots of singing. There's going to be some videos for you to watch and enjoy. There's going to be some activities for you to join in with, maybe times for you to think or to discuss. There's going to be some prayers that are going to be prayed from the front for you to listen to, but it may be also a time for you to pray yourselves. But right in the very center of everything we're going to do this morning is the Bible. And when I say that the Bible is going to be at the very center, I wonder what you expect will happen. There you go. The Bible right at the very center of this morning's service together. Blown away. Well, do you expect this morning to be blown away by what you hear from God's word? Why? Because it's God's powerful word. To leave this morning different than when you came. To be changed. To be transformed. Well, in order for that to happen, we definitely need God's help. To start our service, I'd like to invite Joanna and maybe a guest with her, if that's helpful, to just say a prayer for us to start the service. So again, as Joanna plays, if it's helpful, close your eyes. Do that and say a big amen at the end. Let's pray together.
Dear God, please help us to listen carefully to you and your word today and rejoice and be thankful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, this morning, the Bible's going to be at the very center, and the bit of the Bible that we're in is in Philippians. Now, giant Jenga, again, we have the picture on the screen, a great game to start. But you might ask the question, why, right? Why on earth did we begin our time by playing a game of giant Jenga? Well, the game Jenga, and the game that we just witnessed, is a good picture of the situation we find ourselves in Philippians chapter 4. It's a letter written by a man called Paul to a place called Philippi. And he's writing to these Christians in Philippi, which today would be in this country here. Can we say it together? One, two, three. Greece. Okay, so if you would think Philippi, think Greece. And Paul loves these people. He loves them so much. And he's writing to them because he wants them to be like Jenga. Like how Jenga starts. Tall and strong and together and standing. Not shaking, not falling. But you see, there is a problem. Paul introduces us to two ladies in the church. One of them's called Eudia and one of them's called Syntyche. Okay, great names, but not a great situation because the friendship of these two ladies has collapsed just like Jenga fell over. They're not talking to each other. They're not speaking to each other. They've had a massive fallout. And so Paul writes lovingly to this church, lovingly to these two ladies, and says, if they're not helped out, if they're not encouraged, if they're not loved to sort out their fallout, then maybe some other things in the church might start tumbling like Jenga too. That's the situation of the church in Philippi. And again, it's good to ask ourselves a question as we begin to think about ourselves. I wonder if that situation is familiar to you. I wonder, have you ever had a fallout with someone? Maybe with a friend or someone at school or at home or at work? Maybe you know two people who have had a fallout. Two people that you love. People that love you, but they've had a fallout. Maybe you're in a fallout situation. Maybe again at life or home or work, where it just feels as if you're playing a game of Jenga. Where it feels as if things might just tumble and fall and crash at any moment. If any of those situations ring true, just stop for a minute. Think in your own head. How do fallout situations make you feel? Could you come up with a word in your head? Maybe a word or two? Well, I think there's some emotions or feelings that I thought of about fallout situations. And here they are. One could be sadness. We respond with sadness in fallout situations, asking questions like, why is this happening? We could respond with anger. Who do they think they are? Or we could respond with worry. What am I going to do? What's going to happen next? You see, the church in Philippi was in a fallout situation, and it was very easy for them to respond with sadness, anger, or worry. But Paul is writing to say, God is calling you, church in Philippi, to respond differently. God offered to transform your response into something better, into something more beautiful. And that offer is for every one of us here this morning too. Now again, I wonder, can anyone remember on the screen there were three different emotions, three different responses. Can anyone shout out, what was the first one? In fallout situations, how are we tempted to respond? What was the first one? Holly. Sadness. Yeah, sadness, that's right. So we're going to have our first Bible reading, okay? Because remember, God calls us to have a different response in fallout situations. So as Flora comes and reads it to us, I wonder, can you look out for what is God's different response for us? The reading is going to be on the screen. Flora, up on the stage, be brilliant. And here's how it's going to work. We're going to read this three different times throughout the service. And every time you see a verse in bold or in green, that means we're going to read it all together. Everyone out loud together. And then Flora, you'll carry on with the black bit, okay? Is that right? So after Flora can lead us off, let's read verse 4 all together. Here's Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Flora.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
I will say it again. Rejoice.
Let all people see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in every situation, pray and bring your needs to God. And when you pray, always give thanks. And God's peace will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that God gives is so great that we cannot understand it.
Thank you so much, Flora. Brilliant. Now, again, did anyone notice what is God's different response, maybe in the verse that's highlighted? What word or emotion does God call us to? Can anyone see it? He says it twice, if that's helpful. In the highlighted verse. Luca? Rejoice. Rejoice, right? Do we see that? Rejoice. Now again, Paul says rejoice. We might say, what? Really? In a fallout situation where everything feels as if it's crumbling around us? Really? Are you serious, Paul? Well, Paul says, yes. Rejoice, find joy. I really am serious. I'm so serious. I'm going to say it twice. But it's good to think about, what does Paul mean when he calls us to rejoice? Well, here's another question. What word comes to your mind when I say the word joy? What other word comes to your mind? Joy and? Yeah, Hannah, happiness, right? Joy and happiness, we often put the two together. And they are similar, aren't they? But there is a difference between joy and happiness. Now I wonder, could I maybe have a volunteer to come and help me just hold something at the front? Luca, do you fancy coming up? Okay. So over here we've got my two balloons. We've got the balloon of joy. Could you maybe hold that there? Okay. Would anyone else like to come and hold the balloon happiness? Holly, you can come and hold the balloon happiness here. Again, it might be a little bit faint, but you can see it. We've got joy and we have got happiness. Okay. They look very similar, don't they? Both the same color, both about the same size, but there is a difference. You see, it begins with happiness. Where does happiness come from? Well, happiness comes from the things that happen around us, doesn't it? Let me give you an example. Maybe we're playing for our football team and we score a brilliant goal. What comes with it? Happiness, right? Oh, what a brilliant goal. Maybe our mum or dad makes us our favourite meal. What comes with that? Happiness, right? Maybe it's a beautiful sunny day outside. What comes with it? Happiness. Maybe we pass an important exam. What comes with it? Happiness. Very good, up on the balcony. Maybe at work we get a promotion that we've been waiting for. What comes with it? Happiness. Maybe we have a brilliant time together as a family. Loads of fun. Maybe it's someone's birthday. What comes with that kind of day? Happiness. Happiness is a good thing, isn't it? It's a thing for us to say thank you to God for, and it comes from things that happen around us. But what happens to happiness when instead of scoring that goal, we miss? Instead of our favorite meal, it's a plate of sprouts. Instead of a sunny day, it's rain. Instead of a promotion at work, it's redundancy. Instead of passing an exam, we fail. Instead of a brilliant time with family, full of fun, there's fallout. What happens to happiness then? Do you want to cover your ears? No? I'll do it gently. Happiness pops, right? Happiness pops. And what replaces happiness? What replaces happiness? Aria, would you like to hold this for me? Aria, what replaces happiness? Do you want to hold this? Thank you. But you're not meant to look so happy. It says the word sadness, right? When happiness pops, sadness takes its place. But what's happened to joy? Say it again. It's still there, right? Has it popped? No. Has anything touched it? No. When bad things happen around us, nothing can take or shake joy. Happiness can pop. Joy cannot. But the question is, how's that possible? How's it possible when everything's going wrong around us for joy to stay? Well, it comes back to the question, where is joy found? If happiness is found in the things that happen around us, where is joy found? And Paul helps us by saying, rejoice in the Lord. Joy is found in the Lord, in God. Joy in who God is, that he is loving and powerful and good. Joy in what God has done, that he has rescued us, that he has forgiven us, that we are welcomed into his family. Joy in what God is doing. He is helping us, providing for us, changing us. Joy in God cannot be taken. It cannot be shaken. And notice as well, Ariana and Luca, they're standing next to each other. What is joy next to? Sadness. Joy is next to sadness. You see, Paul isn't saying, stop being sad, then find joy. No. He's saying, in your sadness, in the middle of it, even when it's hard, even when everything else feels as if it's falling around you, in that moment, find joy. You see, you don't need to look happy on the outside to choose joy on the inside. And I guess the question is, will you choose joy? But what does that look like? Again, it's a good question to ask. So I'd like to invite Helen at the front, Luca and Ariana. You can take the balloons down if you want. Holly, you can have a sit down too. Brilliant. And just to ask Helen the question, just to ground us a little bit in your life's example, maybe tell us a little bit of a fallout situation that you've been feeling or experiencing. And what does it look like to find joy or to choose joy in the middle of it?
Obviously totally unprepared for this. So this year has been a bit of an unsettling one in quite a few ways, really. At the beginning of the year, my mum was diagnosed with cancer and had quite a major operation. We weren't expecting that. My dad has an ongoing health condition that is, in fact, getting slightly worse recently, so we were very aware of that. I seem to have found out that the knee holes joined to the elbow, joined to the back, joined to everything, and just had general trouble with physical bits. And it's just, on top of quite a few other things, it's not been a very easy year, yes. I think. And part of the wonderful thing about being part of my family, or the best thing about being part of my family, is that everybody trusts in Jesus mm-hmm. in it. So we know that he loves us and he's got us through this. And I think my dad is the one that I always go back to, because his favourite verse is, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad with it." And he used to tell me that when I was a teenager, lying in bed, and he'd come and open the curtains and tell me that. And he's one of the people who, when the sun's not shining, it's a dull day, he'll go, "But it is still shining. We just can't see it." And so that has been fantastic for me through my life as an example of how to approach things, that actually this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Although we might not feel happy about what's happening, we can choose to see things from God's perspective rather than ours, which might be a feeble human response of, "I'm not very chuffed about that. I'm a bit worried." Actually, through that, we know that God loves us, has saved us, and has got us. And with your analogy about meals, Martin said something quite profound. I know that's a surprise. if you eat lots of nice meals, it makes you feel happy, but it's the feeling of not feeling hungry that mm-hmm. gives you the joy. So you're joyful. It's a deep-seated thing that is an ongoing thing. And we're just very grateful. I'm part of the family, part of God's family, mm-hmm. and my own personal family that put God's first.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Helen. That's really helpful, isn't it? And then hopefully that helps you just think about what this might look like for you in your situation. Maybe a fallout situation that you're feeling. What does it look like to find joy, to choose to find joy, and to find it in God? Now, I'm going to invite Lavinia up in a moment to read our Bible reading again. It's the same verse. But before she does, again, she's welcome to come up and join me. But as she does, can anyone remember what the second emotion or second response to fallout stations might be? We've had sadness was number one. Can anyone remember what number two was? Lavinia? Anger. That's right. Anger. So Lavinia, if you want to come up, we're going to have our reading again. And just like last time, again, if you see it in green, what do? You read it out loud. Okay, so Lavinia, you're going to start us with verse 4. Everyone will join in for verse 5, and you'll carry on. Thank you so much, Lavinia.
"Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice.
Let all people see your gentleness. The Lord is near.
Do not worry about anything, but in every situation pray and bring your needs to God. And when you pray, always give thanks, and God's peace will keep your heart and mind on Christ Jesus. The peace of God is so great that we cannot understand it."
Thank you so much, Lavinia. Very well read. Now, anger was our word, wasn't it? That was our feeling. And we're going to watch a little video here where the person involved responds with anger. And we'll see how well does it go when you respond with anger. Let's have a watch of the little video clip. Thank you. So there we have the beast responding with anger. But again, if we look to ourselves and our fallout situations, it can be really easy to respond in the same way, can't it? To let our emotions get the better of us, for us to explode in anger. But just like Mrs. Potts said, oh dear, that didn't go really well at all, did it? See, when we respond in anger, we can often think things we shouldn't. We can often say things that we regret. We can often do things that just make it worse. And so God calls us, through Paul in this letter to the Philippians, to respond differently. And again, I wonder if anyone noticed in the video what their words were, but also in Paul's reading, to not respond with anger, but to respond with gentleness. Did you see that word? To respond with gentleness. Now, when I say the word gentle or gentleness, I wonder what picture comes to your mind. Again, maybe here's an example. You see that picture on the screen? Maybe that's a good way for us to think about gentleness. We have strong, powerful hands, don't we? Hands that could crush, but instead they choose to care, to look after the precious, vulnerable, potentially hurt bird in the hands. And you see, God calls us to be gentle too, in our relationships with other people, to show patience, to show understanding, to bear with one another, to overlook other people's faults. And what relationships are we called to do this with? A few relationships, some of them, most of them, all of them, it should highlight maybe in a minute. All of our relationships, even with those that annoy us, even those that we clash with, even with people that have possibly hurt us. And again, how is this possible? How is it possible to show gentleness and not anger when everything around us makes us want to respond in that way? Well, the verse says at the end there, the Lord is near. That's how it's possible. The Lord, the King, God himself is with us to help us, to change us, to choose to respond his way rather than our natural way. We're going to watch another video now that just expands on that truth and shows us how precious it is to know that God is near. Let's watch the video.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, every moment of every day, from the rise of the dawn to the setting of the sun, from the first cup of coffee to the last bedtime story, at work, in school, among friends, and with your family, during trials and storms, triumphs and victories, on your worst day, and in your finest moment, he is near. For our God dwells with us and abides in us. His presence surrounds us, and his spirit is inescapable. He loves us with an unimaginable affection and cares for us with an unfathomable passion. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, God is near.
I'm going to invite Val up. She's going to say some prayers for us at this point in the service, asking for God's help into a variety of different situations and some of the things we've already mentioned. Thank you, Val. There's the microphone.
Dear Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is that we can come into your presence and speak with you, knowing that you hear us and answer us. And Lord, we can talk to you about just anything and everything. Nothing's too small for you, and nothing is too big for you. We know, Lord, that sometimes we don't get the answers that we want, but we do know that the answers you give are the best for us, and that you understand exactly how we're feeling. And Lord, no matter what the situation is, you will be there right by our side, walking with us, and sometimes carrying us. It's good and right and proper that we give thanks to you too, Lord, and we want to thank you this morning that John and Abby have arrived safely in our midst. We pray that this time of furlough will be a time of refreshment and blessing for them. And we pray especially for the timing of John's cataract operation. Lord, that you would just oversee that. We thank you too for Caroline's successful operation, and particularly give you thanks that her voice is not affected. We pray for continued and swift healing for her. We pray, Lord, for the Anjorin family following the loss of their son Daniel and the ripples that that will send through the Jubilee Church family and Daniel's school friends. We ask, Lord, that you will be their comfort and stay at this sad time. And we remember too James and Emma McNeil with the loss of Vi. We thank you that we know that Vi is now with her Lord and out of suffering, but we do ask that you would surround James and Emma with your love and comfort. We think of others in our fellowship who have lost loved ones recently and ask, Lord, that they too would know that comfort that only you can give. We ask that Saab and Karen will have a good week away, Lord, that you will give them the refreshment and relaxation that they need. And we pray, Lord, that as we look afresh at these verses from Philippians this morning, that we will really see the truth in them and act upon them. Lord, that we will rejoice in you, that we don't need to worry about things because, Lord, you are there for us at all times. You are the one who will bring peace and contentment if we look to you and put our trust in you. We've already sung that God never breaks his promises. And Father, we thank you for that promise that you will be with us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for loving me. We just want to tell you how much we love you and to give you thanks for all that you mean to us, for what you did for us on the cross at Calvary, and Lord, for being there for us 24/7. We bring these things to you in and through that precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Now, Val's going to stay up and she's going to bring our next reading, our third and final time. But before she does that again, just a bit of a recap to remind ourselves. We've had sadness. We've had anger. Can I remember what the third and final response to fallout situations was? Angus? Worry. Worry. Well done for remembering that. So again, as Val reads the passage, it's going to be up on the screen. If it's green, we read it all together. Look out for what's God's different response to worry. Thank you, Val.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let all people see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in every situation, pray and bring your needs to God. And when you pray, always give thanks, and God's peace will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that God gives is so great that we cannot understand it.
Now, to help us think about our third and final section of the verse this morning, I'm going to need another volunteer. I'm going to need someone who's quite big, quite strong, maybe big arms that can hold a lot of things. Harrison? Right. Let's give him a little clap down. Let's see what he's got. Harrison. Right. It's a bit of a challenge. Let's see how Harrison does. Now, Harrison, you're going to stand in the middle of the stage here. And I've got a box of balls. Okay. And the challenge is, how many can you hold? Okay. Can you hold that one?
Yeah.
Well done. What about that one?
I think so.
You don't think so? Right. What about that one?
I think so.
Yeah, you got it. This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
This one?
Big one.
Yeah. What about these two? Yeah? You got it? Bigger, go on. Yeah? What about a sponge one? Have you got it? And a smaller one? Yeah, you got it. What about a little spongy one there? Yeah, very good. Oh! Okay, then we've got it here. I'll just replace it with a smaller one. What about between your knees? Can you put that between your knees? Yeah, good. Okay, you got that one. What about in your back there? Will that fit down there? Stuck in there. There you go. Give Harrison a round of applause. Thank you, Harrison, for trying. Thank you, Harrison, for trying. Now, again, why did I set Harrison that holding challenge? Well, let's look together at the first five words of verse 6. Can we read out loud together again? Do not worry about anything. As I read that, as maybe you read that, as you look at that, I wonder what you make of it. The fact that it's not a suggestion, try your best not to worry, but it's a command, don't worry. Stop it. Don't do it. Doesn't everything in you, everything in me, it feels a bit harsh, right? A bit unfair, a bit unrealistic. Really? Don't worry about anything? What's Paul saying? What's God saying through Paul to each one of us here? Well, he's not saying, let me say this loud and clear, he's not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about life's situations. Right? It's natural in fallout situations, like this Jenga situation where things feel as if they're falling apart, to have concern, to feel cautious, to be alert and aware of the situation. But Paul and God is saying, don't do what we so often do next. When a fallout situation comes our way, just like Harrison the challenge, what do? We try and keep hold of it ourselves. We keep it in our own hands. And that's what worry is. It's saying, I can control this. I can manage it. I can fix it. I can change it. I'm going to trust in me. But Harrison, what happened when you tried to hold all those balls? You couldn't hold them. It built and built and got worse and worse. And at the very end, crash. Paul says, don't worry. Don't try and keep hold of situations in your own hands. Don't trust in you. But instead, trust in someone else. Trust in God. Place your fallout situations into the hands of another. How can we do that? Again, the verse, if it comes back up, don't worry if it doesn't, says we do that through prayer. Did you notice that as you read the verse? Pray. Prayer is a symbol of trust. When we pray, it says, I can't, but he can. I am going to trust in God. Now, I wonder, would anyone like to come to the front if you see a ball around you? Could anyone like to pick up a ball and bring it to the front? Again, if you're a child, if you're a mum or a dad, if there's a ball next to you, there's lots of balls that fell out on the floor. Would anyone from the stage like to come? Or come down and grab a ball and bring it to the front? Okay. You can have one or two in your hands. You can have one in them. Anyone else like to come and grab a ball? Okay, and stand up on the stage? Okay, brilliant. And let me move this box to the front. Okay, so look to the front so everyone can see. Grab a ball. Brilliant. We've got a few balls there. Oh, don't put them in the box yet. That's coming soon. Okay. Now, when it calls us to pray, here's the words on the screen. In every situation we find ourselves in, every fallout situation, we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice to keep hold of it in our hands or to place it through prayer into the hands of another. And who is that other? Jesus or God. Okay? Place it into his hands. So again, for some of you children, when you are teased at school and you're tempted to worry about it and keep the whole situation in your hands, you can hold it together. Or Holly, what else could you do with your worry? You could put it into the box, put it into God's hands. You have a choice, don't you? When you have a school trip coming up, and maybe you've never been outside on a school trip before, maybe it's your first ever time, and you're really worried about it, you could keep hold of that worry yourselves. Or Harrison, what could you do with that worry? Give it to God. When you're maybe starting a new school coming up, maybe some of you in year six, and September's coming, and secondary school's coming, and you're feeling really worried, or maybe a new teacher, you could hold that worry in your own hands, or you could put it into, Angus?
Into God's hands.
Maybe you are a teenager. Maybe you've got exams coming up. Maybe it's just overwhelming, and you're really, really worried about it. You could keep hold of that worry yourself and try and fix it, manage it, control it. Or you could, Lavinia, put it in God's hands. Right. Slam dunk. Well done. Maybe you're just worried about what other people think of you. Maybe on social media, maybe body image, your looks, your popularity. And you're so worried that it's overwhelming. You could keep that feeling in your own hands. Or you could put it in God's hands. Yes. Well done. Maybe you're a mum or a dad. And you're just finding it really hard to balance life, work, family, home, commitments. It's just all feeling too much. You could hold it in your hands, or Archer,
give it to Jesus,
put it in his hands. Maybe it's the situation with a child, how they're doing at school or at home or in their love for Jesus. Maybe it's a parent, how they're doing in their health. You could hold all those worries in your own hands, or Felicity, you could put those worries into God's hands. Brilliant. And maybe you're elderly here today. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe your own health is struggling. Maybe independence is feeling as if it's being stolen from you. Lots of worries as we age and get older. You could hold those things into your own hands. Or if anyone else has got a ball, last time, we could put it into God's hands. You see, it's a choice, isn't it? Every situation we come across, there's a choice to keep hold of it ourselves or through prayer, give it over to God. Thank you so much for coming to help me. Come and grab a seat. And as they do, here's the final thing that I'm going to say. If we make that choice to give things into God's hands, what does that bring? Peace. Did you see that word? That's the different choice. That's the different response that God calls us to. Peace. Can we all breathe in? Hold it. And out. That peace. That freedom. That relief. Peace that God loves me. That God's got me, as Helen said before. Peace that God knows me and understands me. Peace that I can't, but I don't have to. I'm going to give it over to God. Peace, ultimately, in Jesus. We were once his enemies, but now we are his friends. We're going to sing a song in a moment, two songs to finish, and one of them has these brilliant words. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace I often forfeit. I give it up. I let go of it. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Make that choice to not hold things in your own hand. Don't trust in you. Trust in another. Trust in God. And in prayer, give everything over to him. Before we sing our final two songs, again, it's good just to have a moment to stop and to think, isn't it? to let God maybe speak to us, not to move on too quickly. So again, here's some things we could do just for a few minutes. These could be things that you do in your own head just by thinking, or it could be things that you do with the people around you. You could turn and talk, maybe say hello if you've never met before. But just some questions to fuel your conversation. What's one thing you've learned about God this morning? What's one thing you've learned about you this morning? What's one thing you could do in response this morning? Could you maybe think about those things or talk about those things? And if it's helpful, maybe turn those conversations into a prayer. Again, maybe in your own head or maybe with the person next to you. Could you say a short thank you prayer? Or could you say a short help me prayer? Because we can't do any of these things alone. Is that okay? Just a few minutes just to think or to talk or to respond. And if it's helpful, finish those times with a prayer or two. Over to you. Let's respond to God. And the final thing I'll say is there is a prayer team that will be available in this corner here by the prayer ministry banner. If you feel as if you need to pray into anything that's been mentioned this morning, please don't leave without speaking to someone and praying into it if that's helpful. We'll finish. Words will come on the screen. Can we read our passage all together for one final time? And then we'll say a big amen at the end and we're done. Let's say, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let all people see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in every situation, pray and bring your needs to God. And when you pray, always give thanks. And God's peace will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that God gives is so great that we cannot understand it. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. Have a brilliant rest of your Sunday.